Welcome to 15 Minutes in the Word with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Keys to Loving Your Journey. In John 10:10, Jesus tells us that he came and died for us so that we can have and enjoy our life to the fullest until it overflows. So life is a journey, and we only get one chance to live it. Why then should we choose to make it through, just endure, or worse, hate the life we're living? Today, Joyce will share how through following the Holy Spirit, we can learn to love every step of the journey with Him. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching.
I'm doing a series on living a life that you love. And I just think that's so important because Jesus died so we could have a good life. It's pretty pitiful to be a Christian and not love your life. And I mean, there's a category of people who just hate their lives, but let's just say you're not in that category, but there might be a lot of people here who are just kind of putting up with your life. You're just kind of enduring your life or just maybe getting through life one day at a time. But it might be a real stretch to say, I love my life. See, I told you. It's like, I'm going to have to think about that. You know, in one of my teachings, I think we need to get the word hate out of our vocabulary. I hate this. I hate that. I hate the traffic. I hate my job. I hate doing the dishes, blah, 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 blah. And I think we need to learn to love things and to vocalize it. So I've been training myself. I'm not up very long until I say out loud, I love you, Lord. I receive your love. I love myself. I love my life. I love my family. I love my work. And then throughout the day, I will say things like, I love my home. Thank you. I think we need to get more love language. Come on. What would you be willing to maybe just start talking about that more? I think if you'll start talking about it more, you know, Dave might come by and give me a hug, and instead of maybe just taking that for granted because we've been married 50 years and he's hugged me a million times, I'm training myself to think, I love Dave. Or my kids will come by. Or we have four grown children, and none of them live very far from us. Two live pretty much right around the corner. And I never had the empty nest syndrome. Mine never went anywhere. I mean, they've all got their own families, but they stay close. And I mean, it's not uncommon at all by 9 o'clock in the morning for me to have seen or talked to all of my kids. Well, I know that's a privilege, and so I often say, I love my kids. I love my life. When I take my walk in the morning, I love all the beautiful things that you've made, Lord. And I'm just sharing with you, I think if you'll train yourself to do this, that it will actually be like an enhancement, kind of like an upgrade to your life. The more you talk about the things that you love and the less you talk about the things you don't like or even hate, the more you're going to learn to love your life. So we've talked about a lot of different things. Can't go back and go over all those things. I know that many of you are here for the first time tonight, but that's the beauty of recording messages. You don't really have to miss anything if you really don't want to. But a central theme of these teachings so far have been that if you're going to love your life, then love has to be the central theme of your life. And so we talked a lot about loving other people and how important that is, not living for ourselves. Now, I believe the only way that we can live a life that we love is if we learn how to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. So tonight we want to talk about, in essence, hearing from God, being guided by God, learning how to go with the Spirit rather than the flesh. God always has a better idea than we do. He always has a better plan than we do. And we're usually going to have two ways that we can go in most every situation. We can go with our flesh, or we can go with God. And the flesh equals misery of every kind. God equals joy and peace and a life you can love. Let me repeat myself. The flesh equals misery of every kind. Now, if you say, what do you mean the flesh? The flesh is just you, me, just us. You know, just I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to end up miserable. But if I'm going to follow God, then I'm going to end up with a life of peace and joy. How many of you have already spent a fair amount of time doing what you wanted to and found out it made you miserable? Okay. That's why you're here tonight. You're ready for a change, or you've made a change and you want to learn more about how to live the life that Jesus died to give you. So I think we need to stop wishing. I wish I was in better shape. I wish I felt better. I wish I had your house. I wish I looked like you. I wish I had your job. I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish. I looked up the word wish today in the dictionary, and the first definition I came across was this. I looked it up online. A desire for something that cannot and probably will not ever happen. I thought that was pretty interesting. See? So let me just step out of the box here and tell you something that I am tired of hearing. I wish the government would. Okay, so let's just you know, pamper me for a minute and let's play a little game. Let's just say that this half of the room over here says, well, I wish that the government would provide free education. Well, guess what? If they did, they'd have to get this half of the room to pay for it. Here's the thing. We keep wanting the government to do something for us, and we need to get our eyes off the government and back on God. Can I please give you a revelation? The government cannot give you anything that it doesn't take away from somebody else. And so there's so much talk today about injustice. Where's the justice in that? Well, I wish, well, I deserve, well, you know what? Everybody just needs to buck up and do what they need to do. God has provided a good life for every single one of us, and every single one of us can have it if every single one of us will follow God. Now, I'm not saying that there are not people that need help, because there are people that need help, and the Bible's very clear about helping the poor, but God wants the church to help the poor. He never, ever, ever even wanted Israel to have a king. He wanted to be their king, and he wants to be our king now, and he doesn't want us looking to anything outside of him to take care of us, and he wants us to be guided and led by his Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will guide us into a life that is so amazing that our mouths will just drop open with awe at what God will do for us. How many of you believe that? So let's get hate out of our language. Let's stop wishing and let's start doing. I've been saying for a long time, we don't need wishbone, we need backbone. Amen. And let's get more love in our language, and let's begin to love one another more and build one another up. Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about turning it all over to God. Laying it on the line. God, here I am. You created me. I belong to you. I'm sorry for all the time that I've drifted away and tried to do things on my own, but I want to make a turnaround tonight, Lord, and I don't want to just be some kind of a lukewarm Christian that just goes to church and goes home and goes to church and goes home and nothing ever changes in my life. I want to be at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, saying the right thing. And I'm not smart enough to do that if you don't help me. Anybody believe that? See, things got better for me when I finally realized I wasn't smart enough to run my own life. I wasn't even smart enough to run my own life, and I was trying to run everybody else's too. Come on, some of you just like to get in everybody else's business. You're not even taking care of your own business very good. I love you. We're never going to live a life that we love unless we learn how to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We have to be bold in order to follow the Holy Spirit. Everything that I'm doing today is a result of stepping out and doing things that I felt really strongly in my heart that God wanted me to do, but that I had no real proof of until I stepped out and found out. So I'm not at all suggesting that people just do a bunch of crazy, radical things that make no sense, but I am telling you that you're going to live a very narrow life if you're so careful and so fearful of ever making a mistake that you won't ever step out of the boat and try to do anything else. Peter was the only one who walked on water, but he was the only one who got out of the boat. Everybody else stayed in the safe zone. And I still am amazed when I look back at some of the things that I felt like God led me to do, and I'm like, was I nuts? I mean, was I totally crazy? And yet I've seen in my own life what God can do through any plain, ordinary, simple-minded person who will open up their life to Him and say, come on, God, let's get on with the plan that you have for my life and give me the courage to step out. Now, how do you learn to hear from God? Boy, that's a big one everybody wants to know. Somebody asked a minister that, one of these old guys, you know, that were so great that we get to read books about. Like, someday maybe I'll be one of those old ladies that people read books about. I don't know. But we seem to think somebody knows more if they're dead. I'm not real sure why we're like that. But, you know, and even the longer they've been dead, the more we tend to respect them. So this guy that I read, he'd been dead like a long time, so I'm going to believe that he really knew what he was talking about. And he said, people want to know, they asked me, how did you learn how to hear from God? He said, the answer is by making mistakes. Come on. You take a step. And if it's a stupid one, it won't take long and you'll know it. And stupid is double stupid if it just keeps going in that stupid direction. But if you take a step, you really believe that's what God's leading you to do, you take a step and it just doesn't work, then all you got to do is step back and say, well, that's not the direction to go.
Thanks for listening. It's exciting that Jesus has given us a full life. In reality, though, we may struggle to actually enjoy it. We may spend more time upset with the obstacles or focused on the negatives. Instead of wasting effort with these distractions, let's allow the Holy Spirit's leading to show us how we can adjust our perspectives and have Jesus be the center of everything we do. It is time to love the journey. So remember, God loves us and has a better plan for us than anything we could ever imagine. For more resources from Joyce, visit joycemeyer.org.
Well, I hope that you feel that I'm a partner in your life by teaching you the Word of God. And I'm asking you to partner with me in helping us continue reaching out not only to you through this program, but to so many people around the world that still don't know Jesus. Together, we can do so much more than what we can do by ourselves. So please, become a brand new partner with us today.
To join us in partnership right now, go to joycemeyer.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to 15 Minutes in the Word with Joyce.